Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like it. Stop. Right on.
Brother, 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 there's far too many of you die.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Connor. How you doing, young man?
I'm doing all right, Earl.
Yeah, man. I, you know, life is wonderful when you allow it to be, and when you understand that things happen in life that aren't coincidental. You run across people in your life that are there for a reason at a given time. And my guest this morning is one of those events and one of those times that you just know that there's a reason why. You come into people's lives and they come into your lives. And so I want to introduce Mr. Don Caskey to our listening audience. Good morning to you. How you doing?
I'm doing very good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine, Mr. Caskey. I want to just let people know how you and I came across one another on yesterday. We happened to be in the same restaurant at the same time. And I was with a bunch of guys who working in my in the summer program that we have been putting on now for the past 6 weeks, called Camp Rise, where we have over 200 boys ages 10 to 15 years old who we've been mentoring 5 days a week, 4 hours a day, and has not been an easy undertaking, but it's certainly been a worthy undertaking from the perspective of we've impacted the lives of young people, and I don't think there's anything more valuable than to impact young life with direction and guidance. And so we had this, having this conversation, four of us, and this gentleman was sitting a table away from us, and I could, you know, sense that he was kind of connected to our conversation. He clearly was, if you see him, you will certainly notice him because of his beautiful beard. I mean, man, that's a beautiful, beautiful beard.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And the other thing that you will notice more than anything else is he's tatted up, right? And he's got tattoos everywhere. Except for his face. Why not there?
I kind of like my face where it is.
I've seen people who have been tattooed all over the face and that kind of stuff, which is way out there, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you only get one face, right?
Yep.
But let's do this, man. Let's talk about who Don Caskey is.
Well, my name is Don Caskey, as I said. I'm originally from Michigan, but grew up in Toledo, Ohio. And I'm 56 years old, got 5 kids, just a loving life. But 2.5 years ago, I was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And I decided shortly after my diagnosis, a few months, that all I can take with me when I pass away is memories. So I started asking random strangers if they want to get a matching tattoo with me to make a connection, that I could take that memory with me when I passed away and leave a memory here with somebody else after I leave.
Now, let's go back, because you went through that so quickly. Random strangers, you asked them to have matching tattoos with you.
Correct.
Where did I? How many tattoos had you had at that point in your life before you made that leap?
I had 6.
You had 6.
Yep.
So where did the idea come from?
I was sitting on my son's back patio in July of 2020. And I was looking at the 6th tattoo I ever had, which is a dying pine tree with my cancer ribbon on it. And underneath it says, "I'm still standing." And I've always known it, but I really just got to thinking that, you know, the only thing I can take with me is memories when I pass away.
Right.
You know?
Well, it's any of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And I've always liked people, and I figured, you know, let's see how many more people I can meet, human connections I can make before I pass away.
You know, how many tattoos do you have now?
496.
So 496 tattoos, is it safe to say that each one, except for the first six, are all matched with somebody else?
Yep.
So how did you go about connecting with all those different people and get them to say, yes, I'm willing to have a matching tattoo with you, somebody I don't know?
You know, originally I had no matching tattoos with anybody, and I would go to somebody and talk to them a little bit and say, hey, this is what I want to do. And most of them looked at me like I was crazy. I mean, like, I don't want to get a tattoo with you. I don't know you. And I totally understood it. But I just kept talking about it. You know, I thought, hey, I'm just keep doing this. And within about 8 weeks, I had one girl that I met in a sports bar. I had dinner one night, and she was a server. And she said, yeah, I'll get one with you. And about a couple days later, we got a matching butterfly tattoo with my cancer ribbon in it.
So how do you determine what tattoo to get? Is it you and the person who is going to match tattoos with you? I mean, how do you determine which one is going to be?
Well, some of them I've got like a combination of our astrological signs, because I believe we all got something in common.
Right.
Some of them are to help with whatever that person is going through. Like I've got tattoos for people that have lost kids to heroin overdoses or that they've got Crohn's disease. Some of them are just fun. Like I've got Garfield on my arm.
Right.
But, you know, it's something we agree upon. I mean, because I don't want to have anybody put something on them they don't want.
Yeah, but I mean, there's got to be a time you had to have more people say no than yay.
Initially, yeah, I did. Yeah, it was very, very difficult. But now it's not quite so tough. I mean, I can be sitting in like the restaurant where I met you yesterday.
Right.
I met a girl there in December 2020. She was our server while we were there yesterday. And I talked to her for a brief second before I left. And I said, you know, we should get matching tattoos. Well, after she got off work that night, she met me at a tattoo shop here in Wisconsin and got tattooed with me.
So here's people are taught. And do you have more females who have said yay to this than men?
I would say more females because I think they're a little more empathetical than most guys are. But I've had a lot of men. I mean, from around the world.
So you know, you first thing you would think is women would be apprehensive to some guy that they don't know, number one. And they would think, in many instances, from the perspective of being safe, that they would not get engaged or involved in this. You know, you're a well-spoken gentleman. You certainly, you know, I can't say... Because we can't say what a masher looks like, you know. I mean, it could be somebody, anybody.
Right.
But you don't look like somebody who is, you know, going to do something crazy. But people never know. And the fact that women would be so willing to do that is an amazing thing to me, especially today.
Mm. Well, you know, I believe that everybody's got something in common, and we're all just people. And if you treat somebody with respect, they're going to give you respect back. And if you come up to them, you know, open-minded and, you know, just tell the truth with them, be real with them, they're going to listen to you.
Yeah, but, and so you've gone on Facebook and met people on Facebook and traveled.
Oh, I've been in from Alaska to Georgia to, you know, New Hampshire all over again, tattoos.
Yeah.
And I've had people in six different countries, different continents.
So you don't know the person, you meet them on a site, and then you travel to where they are?
Well, I mean, I don't know the people, but generally, like the girl we from the restaurant yesterday.
Right.
She was my server, so I met her that day. But I can just as easily go on my Facebook feed.
Right.
Post where I'm at, some little town in Mississippi, say, and randomly just... people come to meet me, I don't know. I mean, just by saying I'm at this tattoo shop and they will come to meet me to get a tattoo.
Is it because of your kind of, what is the word I'm looking for? When you got all these different websites, what do you call those things?
What do you mean, like network?
Network, yeah. Because of the networks, you have all these people following you, and therefore they, you have connections with them via that?
I would say so now. Initially, no. When I first started this, I maybe had 200 friends on Facebook. But now I got a worldwide following that people reach out to me every day.
Well, so you have started a nonprofit called Stranger Inc.
Correct.
And so you are on all these different sites, and you said that you have had national media attention. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. I've been in People.com with a country music singer. He wrote a song called Tattoos of Heaven about a year ago. Just this past January, I was on the Tamron Hall Show, a national talk show based out of New York, but it goes nationwide.
Right.
And as I was sitting at the restaurant yesterday, I had notifications that it reran from January again yesterday.
Yeah.
I've been on like 90 news stations around the country. I've been on the news, Fox News 6 right here in Milwaukee twice.
Wow. So, and that's really not the end of your story. And so, you know, I want to delve a little bit deeper into your story and what you're doing and how long you want to continue to do this, the impact that it's had on your life and on other people's lives. I think it's what's at the root of why I think I thought it would be important to have you appear on the radio show and others to get to hear your story. So anyway, we've got to go to a break. My guest is Mr. Don Caskey. He is with Stranger Inc. You can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789 in Texas, that same number. I'm joined by Mr. Don Caskey. He is with Stranger Inc. And as we were talking earlier about the fact that he's got 96 tattoos, and many of them have been matching tattoos. He's traveled different parts of the world and met people and asked them to do matching tattoos. And so that's certainly worthy of a conversation, man. I still, for the life of me, I'm finding it hard to come to a realization that people who, for the most part, are kind of leery of strangers, were able to let you into their lives and do this.
Well, you know, as I said, I believe everybody's got something in common. And with that being said, there's far more good in the world than bad. I mean, you see a lot of the bad out there, but if you take the overall populace of the world, people are inherently good. We all do messed up things from time to time, but you know, if somebody on the side of the road needs help, usually somebody stop and help them.
Yeah. Well, yes, somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody, okay. Not everybody. And,
well,
and there's going to be more who are going to go past than there are who are going to stop. And that's kind of, and rightfully so, because people are so leery of other people. Now, there are people like you in the world, and I know that because I'm one of those kind of people. And so the beauty of that is you take these risks in life, and many times they'll be rewarded. But let's talk about you expanded what you were doing to – how did you get to the point where people – who can't afford their funerals. Let's talk a little bit about how you got there.
My father was in the funeral business his whole adult life. And they're expensive as heck. And I realized that when people get terminally ill, you know, most of them spend whatever money they got trying to stay alive or enjoying what life they got left. And usually they don't plan for a funeral. They don't have time to plan for a funeral before they pass away.
Yeah.
And usually, after that point, it's left on the burden of their family or friends. Well, as my reach got larger around the world and I got more of a following, I decided to use that voice and help raise money to pay for funerals of terminally ill people so they can enjoy what time they got left the best they can. And if I can help them out with the afterlife expenses, I'm going to try to do so.
You know, that's more than a notion to do it with your own family members, let alone doing it for somebody, you know, outside of your family. It is a major burden. No question about it. The average funeral, from what I understand now, somewhere around $10,000. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's unobtainable for many people mm-hmm. in this country. And it puts a tremendous burden on family members who can't afford. It's painful enough to lose a loved one,
mm-hmm.
but then to have to worry about that added burden of paying for the funeral mm-hmm. is compounds.
Oh, definitely
the pain that people go through. But again, that's that's more than a notion. How are you doing with that, and how many funerals have you been able to assist with?
The nonprofit's fairly new, so I have not been able to help anybody as of yet. But I came to Milwaukee again for the fourth time because I got a tattoo with a girl back in December again of 2020. And the tattoo we got was based around the fact that she'd been diagnosed with breast cancer in August of 20. Well, she had a mastectomy, and they thought they got it all. Well, I heard about a week or so ago that she was not doing well. And at the time, I was out in Iowa. Well, I decided to stop here and surprise her and sat here with a few days with her in the hospital, and she's not doing well whatsoever. She's got probably, from what doctors say, they're not sending her home. She's going to be there.
Right.
And I got to talking to her and asked her if she had any funeral plans made of as yet, and she said no. She hasn't been able to afford to. So I'm doing the best I can to help her with that. Her boyfriend's driving up from Alabama right now because that's where she was living at the time. And I'm gonna talk to him and see if we can get something arranged before I head out of town.
You know, man, it we never know the pain that others experience. As I was stating earlier, it's tough enough, man, to go through the physical pain and the illness itself, regardless of what that is, and then have to worry about, you know, I'm leaving this burden on my family
mm-hmm.
At a time when your focus should be on what happens next in your life. You can't deal with that because of the expenses,
right?
You know, with what happens in this life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great thought. It's a great idea. How do people help you with that?
I've got a website, Stranger Inc. That's INK.org. You can make donations on there. I've got an apparel line that you can donate and get a shirt or a hat or something for your donation. And that's primarily how I'm getting the donations right now to help other people. the help of you being on this radio show, that helps out tremendously.
Yeah.
Getting the word out there. But that, and in my social media, I've got Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you name it. My name is Don, C-A-S-K-E-Y. You can find me on any of that, and there's links on there to all she can donate.
Well, listen, Don, I want to thank you, man, for coming in, taking the time out to spend with us. It's now that I know, have your phone number, we'll stay connected.
Appreciate that.
You come back around this way again, we'll have you back on.
I appreciate that, sir.
All right. Thank you. That's the Stranger Inc. again. That's with Don Caskey. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back. All right, my friend. And the financial burden that has befallen all of those people in Racine and others who were led to believe that this was going to be the ninth wonder of the world. Remember like yesterday. And Republicans who continue to want to talk about, you know, others. And yet you rarely hear a mumbling word from any of them who about what took place in Mount Pleasant. If you aren't aware, Mount Pleasant, small little town, who really thought they had struck gold. You know, kind of like, you know, finding oil on your property, and you know, an oil reserve underneath your home, you know, wherever you live, and all of a sudden somebody finds it there, and all of a sudden your eyes get big, and all of a sudden you're led to believe that you are going to be wealthy beyond comprehension. And so when these criminals, Scott Walker, Ron Johnson, Donald Trump, Paul Ryan, Rance Priebus, and that group of hustlers brought this plan that there was going to be 13,000 jobs, high-tech jobs, paying $25 and above. And a Taiwanese manufacturing giant was at the root of it. And oh man, the promises that were made. Bought all these properties, all the homes of people. Got Racine County. And again, those people in Mount Pleasant to mortgage the future, the children's future, the children's 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 futures, to have those roads rebuilt and all of those other things. And yet, nothing happened. There's nothing happening there now. I haven't been to the site. From what everything that I've heard about it, it is a massive, massive property. And there's been several other plans or ideas that they were going to make things after these major screen fiasco never happened. And I hear conservative talk show hosts saying, well, it's not on Governor Walker anymore former Governor Walker anymore and the Republicans, because the new governor, Tony Evers, is the one who now, you know, has inherited this. He reworked the deal, and so it's his fault now. It's on Democrats. It's not on the Republicans anymore. No. It is still on you, because you and your allies sold this false bill of goods to really that group of people in Mount Pleasant and Racine moved towards the conservative movement, Republican movement. They were Democrats at one point in time, but after this came through, they felt like they struck gold, and they all became Republicans. And this is the reward. Given that this was supposed to drive community growth, it has caused an awful lot of division in Mount Pleasant and a lot of unnecessary costs, said State Representative Gordon Hintz, a Democrat from Oshkosh who serves on the Wisconsin Economic Development Committee Board, Corporation Board. It's unclear what, if anything, Foxconn is doing at the site, and the company has consistently refused access and tour requests by the Journal Sentinel and other media organizations. Neither village elected officials nor Foxconn executives would comment for this story. In April 2021, the state revised its $2.85 billion contract with the company to create more realistic goals, including the creation of 1,454 jobs, 11% of the original plan. 11% of the original plan of 13,000. You know, how do you recover that? You know, and how do Republicans get out from under that? Man, I remember the victory laps that the Republican Party nationally, again, Donald Trump came here while he was president. And Scott and former Governor Scott Walker, and it was all these victory laps, conservative talk radio nonstop, everything was about Foxconn. And now, barely a bleep from the people who put this in motion, took advantage of tax dollars of those folk in the state. Now, you're not going to hear any conservative or Republican call in on this. They're definitely not going to call in on this because, you know, there's nothing that they can say. They know this was a sham and a scam from the get-go. And yet here it is 5 years later and nothing is taking place at all. You know, some of you have been to the site. I haven't. I don't know. I certainly would love to see it. But it's kind of like, you know, off limits. What is that site in Las Vegas where they, you know, supposedly saw the space aliens and all of that? I forgot the name of the site. But that's kind of what Mount Pleasant is. You know, Foxconn won't allow people to get a chance to even take a look at it because it will bring back to the surface the wound. You know, the wound is like kind of like a, you know, an open wound that eventually scabs over. You know, that's what Foxconn is. An open wound that 5 years later, it's finally scabbing over. It'll never completely heal because of the commitment for the life expectancies of two or three generations of people in that area who are going to have to pay that. That debt is due. Somebody's got to pay it. And the government's not going to step in and do it. So the people who live in that area have to. A horrible, horrible stain on this state. A horrible, horrible stain, again, on people on the right and even the media who has not done their due diligence in continuing to hammer away at what was done. The fact that all these people were taken advantage of and their lives were turned inside out and upside down and changed forever by some crooks who have all now scattered. You know what happens, man, when you have critters and creatures that have made it into your house and you turn on the light and they like to move around in the dark. And you turn on the light and all those creatures and critters scramble. That's what happened with Foxconn. All those creatures who were behind it have now scattered. Won't come back this way. You know, and so that needs to never, ever be forgotten. Here it is 5 years later. And I'm sure if you were one of the people who lived there, you would have never stopped talking about it, have never stopped realizing how somebody could be so low down as to do that and ruin your community. You know, there's some folk who decided to stay. They did not sell their properties, and they're stuck right next to this monstrosity. Anyway, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789 in Texas at that same number. Just want to make an announcement that election night, I will be joining the Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes campaign from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. live coverage on election night. Make sure you tune in as 3 hours of live coverage. Really excited about it. And great news came in yesterday to the Barnes campaign as the number two competitor, Alex Lazary, son of one of the owners of the Milwaukee Bucks, dropped out after a $15 million investment in his campaign. He realized that even with a $15 million investment, He was not going to be able to defeat Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes in order to become the Democratic nominee for the Senate seat that Ron Johnson is holding. But I want to say this, because there's some ire that I have and some angst because, you know, there are people who are supporting Alex Lazary, a good man, no question by all the things that I've heard about him. Never met him. He's a really good man who made a decision based on what he saw and others saw, that there was no way, even if he spent another $50 million, that he was going to somehow win the nomination to run against Ron Johnson. But I want to talk about some people who, in the city of Milwaukee, who look like me, who have an anger, against Mandela Barnes, and who are leading others to say that he's not the person that should become the nominee for Democrats. And I tell you, there's some rottenness in some of the Democrats in Milwaukee, especially the African-American side, who have just taken the money. It's always, as Tom says, about the money. And so, you know, there's some personal feelings that they have about Mandela Barnes because he chose to run for state senator against state senator Lena Taylor. And so there's an organized effort by some to deny the fact that nationally the Democratic Party supports Mandela Barnes. So this fringe group, and I will call them a fringe group, are doing everything they can to try and turn people against Mandela Barnes. Now, doesn't matter, because they're not strong enough to usurp or overcome the National Democratic Party, who has hooked their future onto Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. But this fringe group that took the money and constantly takes the money when it comes to political issues in our community, now, after, you know, Mark Lazary decided that he wasn't going to continue in the race, have decided now, well, we've got to get somebody else. It can't be Mandela Barnes. It just can't be Mandela Barnes. My question to them is why? Well, why can't it be Mandela Barnes? Well, you know, he ran against State Senator Lena Taylor. Well, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? You can run against anybody. Nobody owns a seat. But my frustration is that, you know, you can take advantage of people who aren't aware of what is going on. And I've never liked it. What am I talking about? I've never accepted the fact that people would take advantage of other people politically. But that's what that is. And that's why I've always referred to it as politics, you know. So they're trying to get people to turn around, even though they supported Lazary, and vote for Sarah Godlewski, who they didn't support, who has not said anything that they thought would lead them believe in her as becoming the next the nominee for the Democratic Party for the Senate seat presently held by Ron Johnson. You know, I've watched this group for decades, control the votes and the voters in our city. And they get what they deserve. It's poetic justice that Mark Lazary decided that he couldn't defeat Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. That's poetic justice for those who have organized and done everything within their power to dismiss what the National Democratic Party thought was the best candidate. Do they have a right to do it? Yes, they have a right to do it. Nobody's saying they didn't have a right to do it. But I've witnessed them do this time and time and time again. Poison the water. Control who it is that they want in office so they can control that person. And when you have people who struggle and are trying to make it through daily, they're not politically savvy. And so they'll listen to people who appear to be politically savvy and who are politically savvy. I'm not opposed to people being politically savvy. But when they're taking advantage of others and they're being politically savvy so they can stuff their bank accounts, that's where I got a problem with it. And so, you know, we're at a point once again where in my community, it's hard to overcome that. When people who look like you and know the conditions that exist in your community are willing to sell their souls for the almighty dollar. Man, shame on them, plague on their houses. But there is political justice. And the political justice is when the money was flowing, they were there. Because Mark Lazary put $15 million of his own money there, which meant people were being paid. They were on the payroll. Well, that's now come to an end. And there is a God who sits high and looks low. And for all of those hustlers who have continued to hustle our community and our people, you know, you're not going to be able to stop Mandela Barnes from getting that nomination. And for that, I am grateful. And hopefully we'll get to a point where you'll understand why. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Robert Miranda with Flack. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.